The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Happy to be with you. Hey, we got multiple current and former producers of this show today. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin is here. What is this, 589, right? My math right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
My counting skills right?
I always argue that that I'm worth a half somewhere in there, too, like 3.5 or 4.5.
3.5? Oh, yeah, because of the small time.
Two or three weeks I'd fill in here, yeah.
There we go. I'm happy to be here, Kelly. I'm happy to be here this week in for Gil. Matt Brown, good job last week for Matt Brown.
Glad you're here, too.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here as well. I'll tell you who's on the show today, and then we'll get into the complaints that Kelly and I had about NBA All-Star Weekend. That sounds like a plan. Sounds like a good plan this morning. Our guy Jim Roots with us in 15 minutes. Kelly, I know you're an NBA guy over college basketball guy. This has been one of the weirder college hoops years that I can remember, and I think it's mostly because there's just no dominant team, which is going to produce either the worst tournament of all time or the greatest tournament of all time. There's no in-between this year.
Yeah, for me, it's a tournament causes chaos anyways. Yeah. So, I don't know. If we go in with no expectations, then, you know, what? Nobody should feel too crazy about upsets happening, right? People will, right? That's going to be the biggest point, is we're going to freak out about upsets, and yet all I've heard all season long is about how wide open this thing is.
Now just remember, though, again, Jim's a Missouri guy. I'm a Missouri guy. My biggest future ticket's on Kansas because, of course, it is. Jay Codd's with us at the top of the next hour, one of the best in the business, talking hockey. And then Tom Byrne. I was very excited, Kelly, when you sent me the rundown, and I saw Tom Byrne on there at 8:30 today. That's going to be fun.
That's what he told me, too. He said, Jeff Parles is doing the show. I'm in.
I'm stunned. He actually knows who I am. That's good. We'll get Tom at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. But, Kelly, let's go into what we saw this weekend. And I just want to start with the NBA All-Star game before we get to Crash Fest at Daytona. Team Giannis wins. Game goes over. Team Giannis covers. You and I were just talking about this before we started the show. The team gets drafted an hour before the game, not even an hour before the game.
Yeah.
How are their lines out all weekend long?
I don't know.
When we don't know the teams. And then Team Giannis, who, by the way, was the underdog the whole weekend, wins the game pretty handily. They win by 9. It wasn't really even that particularly close because Jason Tatum went nuclear yesterday. He has scoring 55 points, which is the most ever in an All-Star game, winning the MVP with ease. It is just so strange because, Kelly, remember the first year they did this was the year of the pandemic where they drafted the teams, they went to the Elam ending, and it was a whole lot of fun. It was a competitive game that, of course, naturally ended on a free throw with Anthony Davis winning that game in 2020. But this weekend stunk.
This is the first year they did it live, though, right before.
Yeah, it was always done on TNT with Ernie, Kenny, Shaq, and Charles about a week before.
Okay, everyone, that's what I thought.
KD or Giannis or LeBron had their clipboard and Giannis still had his clipboard yesterday, but it just wasn't the same.
He had a dang book. Yeah. I don't watch. I know everybody knows I'm a big NBA better, NBA fan. I don't watch a lot of the All-Star game stuff. I'll watch three-point contests. Hey, three-point contests and the dunk contests were amazing this year. Those were fun to watch. I don't watch much of the game, so I'm sitting there watching it yesterday, Jeff, and same thing, but watching them draft players. No. I'm like, you can't bet on this. I don't know how they're even hanging lines. But I think it's a reminder for going forward. It is just, it's an event you should not be betting on. There's no more clear way that I could say. There is no strategy to bet this. The only thing you could possibly argue or push back on is, well, why wouldn't I just take the dog then every year?
I don't have a problem with that.
Then, I guess that makes a little bit of sense, but you really don't have much of an edge at all when you don't know who the dang teams are.
You take the dog, and you take a dart or two on an MVP. That's it. The only ways you can bet it. And then the whole NBA All-Star Weekend, Kelly, I didn't even look. Did people out here even hang the slam dunk contest?
Yeah, I think it was in a spot or two.
Okay. All right.
I think.
Mac McClung won it because he was the only person who actually did multiple dunks that were somewhat appealing to the eye.
Oh, it was incredible. Whoa. You can't undersell this.
No, look, he was awesome. Everyone else was terrible.
The moment of the weekend.
Everyone else was terrible in the event, but McClung was especially excellent. I can't argue that, Kelly.
Has appeared in, what, 3 NBA games?
I'm surprised he even appeared in mud. All I know is when McClung was in college at Georgetown and Texas Tech, that dude caused me to lose as many bets as one individual player has ever caused me to lose, Kelly.
I remember him in Texas Tech. I don't remember this at Texas Tech.
No.
I don't remember what we watched this weekend at Texas Tech.
No, it was just idiotic shots from McClung. He never did anything like that, which was awesome. I had Buddy in the 3-point contest, so I was close. But
yeah, me too. I had that as well.
Couldn't quite get there with Dame winning it with the awesome final rack.
He just missed his one bucket. We're in there.
What are you going to do? I mean, he got beat by a guy who's ice cold. There's nothing you can do on that. And then, Kelly, you and I were kind of talking about this before, and I actually talked with JVT last week on this on the Final Countdown on Thursday. The NBA blew up what was probably the best betting event of the entire NBA calendar with whatever they've done with the skills competition, because now it's a farce. And before they made this format change before last year's All-Star game, it was one of the best betting vehicles there was because there was mispricing all the time on the individual big guys who were in that field.
Yeah.
Because Sabonis and Bam Adebayo won back-to-back years, cashed them both at 12 and 14 to 1 respectively because they were mispriced. Now we got this team format, not even available out here in Nevada. A farce. Total farce.
Total farce. That one's
bring back the shooting stars. You remember that?
Yeah.
Bring that back.
I'm becoming more and more sold on the we're gonna hear more about this in-season tournament.
It's gonna be here.
Apparently
probably.
They're gonna invite like teams from outside the NBA, which I just don't see how makes
sense. Wait a second.
Yeah, there's reports of that.
FC Barcelona's coming?
The Silver wants to get other teams involved.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see more on that. But I don't know. If you can't get NBA players to currently play in NBA games, I don't know how
they're playing in that.
Yeah, why are they not all just gonna take advantage of taking 2 weeks off or whatever it's gonna be and do that. The one I'm becoming to get more sold on, though, is this Ryder Cup format for the All-Star game. Just do a Europe versus Europeans versus Americans. That would be fun. I would watch that.
You have enough Euros
for
All-Star quality,
for sure.
Though?
For sure.
For All-Star quality.
Yeah. Fill out a roster.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Fill out a roster, it's competitive.
I mean, you begin your team with Giannis, Victor, and Luka moving forward. That's pretty good, right, Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the best part of that is that we mentioned a guy who's not even in the league and we're already ready for him to take it over. We do have Giannis news, right? Giannis going to get his wrist examined. LeBron, of course, jammed his finger in the rim last night as well. So that's always great, too. You get multiple injuries, even though Giannis had injured the wrist in the final game before the All-Star break against Chicago.
Yeah, I don't really know what all to make of that. I think that's a hold tight if you're looking – If you're kind of in a situation like I am where you were considering fire on some Bucks futures.
Hold off.
I'd hold off for now until you get final word. I'm kind of assuming because he suited up at all, Jeff, that he doesn't even think it's that serious.
Yeah.
But, I would wait until we know more.
Kelly, Daytona 500. We'll bring this up quick because it was the longest Daytona 500 of all time. Double overtime, Kelly Bidlin. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is your winner. 212 laps, thanks to the double overtime, multiple crashes, normal chaos as always at Daytona. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, pure craziness. I am very fascinated in the live betting aspect of the Daytona 500 and some of these super speedway races where there are a billion crashes. That's something that I'm going to continue to keep my eye on and probably burn some money away doing it over the next few years. But I think it's an incredible live betting opportunity. I don't really know how you could bet that or I don't want to say that sport, that race pre-flop. But, man, it's because there's a lot of crashes. I'm like, I bet golf. We'll get the Genesis. But it's like,
oh, we'll get there.
That's like someone coming out of the gallery and tackling John Rahm, like, on the 17th hole. It's kind of hard to, I think to bet that pre-flop. I love the in-game opportunities, though.
I had some dude named Ware at 2001. Finished 14th. I don't get anything for that, but I think that was about 20 spots higher than he was supposed to finish.
There's so many guys that get knocked out. Travis Pastrana had a chance to win the
thing. No, that's the best part, that Travis Pastrana was in the race of X Games acclaim of the past. Not my thing, but again, that is in Talladega are two places where you can get wacky things because of all the crashes. Restrict your plate races. See, I have one buddy who really knows NASCAR, Kelly, so every year in the week after the Super Bowl, I just, hey, what do I need to know this weekend at Daytona? It just reminds me of everything. That's the only reason I know that's one of the restrictor plate races.
There you go.
Here we go. Do you want to go off about how John Rahm has ruined your life yet again, Kelly?
Yeah, whatever. The guy just... I'd prefer if he just waited for me after work in the parking garage with a tire iron and took all my money then. Get it over quicker than the death by paper cuts for four straight days. I had Homa and Cantlay and, run 2-3 again this week. John Rahm's incredible, though. This is... what he's doing right now in a golf course. Hey, I was able to bet Rahm live, so hopefully anybody that was on Homa, you did have an opportunity to do that yesterday. You could have gotten Rahm at plus money when he was down a stroke to Homa, at least small or around even money. That's where I jumped in. Great, great golf betting weekend, though. Hit the first-round leader on Keith Mitchell. I had to chop that, but that was a nice 35-1 hit, nice. I guess, once that got dead-heated. And then once the... with some of the finishing position bets getting home and the big hedge on Rahm yesterday, it was a nice, nice golf weekend for myself. Long Shots crew, Wes picks up another outright win over in, I want to say Europe, but I honestly don't even know where they played this weekend. Thailand. It was Thailand, not Europe.
That's Asia, Kelly.
Yeah, that was not Europe. Not Europe at all. So another good win there. But what John Rahm is doing right now is incredible and is screwing up golf outright betting for everybody. We're going to talk about that more later in the show, John.
We will. We will also have Kelly's thoughts on the first week of the XFL coming a little bit later as well.
Oh, okay.
But coming up next, our guy Jim Root talking college hoops.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app. That's BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and plenty more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip in Las Vegas with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. So visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Bellagio and South, Kelly Bidlin for your MGM properties on the Strip now.
There you go.
See, there you go. That's South is towards Mandalay Bay, towards the sign, guys, if you are not familiar with Las Vegas geography. That other voice you heard is Kelly Bidlin. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander this week. Where is Gil this week?
Where is he? Somewhere in the Caribbean, I believe.
Okay. Someone asked me where Gil was. My guess is always with Gil, he's either in the Caribbean or he's in Florida. Yeah. Usually in this week.
Yeah, so that's usually I believe he's on an island somewhere.
Okay. I believe it's something that's terms and conditions is another way to abbreviate where he is. Would be my guess. Kelly knows exactly what I'm saying. All right, let's bring in our guy. He used to live in Vegas, now in the Windy City. Three-man Weaver himself, fellow Mizzou grad. Rough weekend for our Tigers yet again. They just can't match up with Buzz Williams. Our guy Jim Root with us right now. Jim, it's a pleasure as always, buddy.
Yeah, great to be here. Glad you're clarifying which way south on the Strip. Let's get people dialed in on that geography. That's big time.
Hey, look, geography is important, man. It's an underrated skill that people need. Jim, I want to start with a macro sense of everything here because this is just – it's wide open. We've been saying it for months, and it's obvious at this point. The odds dictate that other than Houston, there's really no clear-cut favorite here. And I just want to ask you this, because after watching again this weekend and watching through this week, why does it feel like that this feels like a little more of a wonkier, weirder year to handicap? Is it as simple as this? The country is more even than usual and it's wide open, or is there another factor that plays into that?
I think that's a big part of it. And I think maybe one factor that is contributing is that the NBA takes the good guards every single year. Like, it's really rare that high quality guards are returning to the sport. Instead, it's a lot of the big guys, the Edies, the Dickinsons, the Timmies, the Shibways. Those guys come back because they're less in demand from the NBA. But if you take all the great playmakers, a lot of the guys that would immediately crack an NBA rotation, even some of the wings, you take away a lot of what makes teams dominant, both start to finish in college basketball and then in the postseason too. You look at a team like Purdue with Edie featured, I think everybody knows they're a top five team right now. They deserve a one seed. They were a one seed in the top 16 revealed, but there's a healthy skepticism because there's freshman guards on that team and they've looked a little shaky on the road in league play. I believe they're 2-6-1 against the spread on the road this season. You put them in a big environment in the tournament. You know, it's neutral rather than on the road, but there's definitely some skepticism about that. And I think generally in the sport, it's because of the lack of guard play, lack of elite guard play for these top teams.
You know, I haven't really thought about that, but that is right, because all these guys that look, even just look at like a guy like Scoot Henderson, who normally would have played a year of college, he's in the G League now. So Even the elite guard play that is not in college and isn't of age in the NBA, they're playing in the G League now. That's a really, really good point. And when you think about it, when you go through it, like just look at the guys who, again, Edie's going to win the Naismith, but Jalen Wilson, wing, the number two guy. There's really not really many elite guards in the country. So I'm with you there, Jim.
Yep. Yeah, and even you mentioned Houston as one of the top teams. Yeah. Like, they got Marcus Sasser back, who went through the draft process, and I think it was kind of 50-50. And look what that does. You get an NBA quality guard. They're a team with two losses sitting atop the poll probably today. It matters. You get those talented guards back, and it really makes a difference.
Jim, you brought up the reveal, this top 16 seeds. Was there anything that surprised you with that reveal at all?
A little bit. They did not give a lot of love to the Big East. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that Indiana was ahead of every single Big East team. Both the Big 12 teams that I view as, like, not shaky resumes, but Iowa State, Kansas State, they were three seeds rather than four. And then the total absence of UConn, I think, is something that, throughout the years, they always talk about body of work, non-conference matters the same as league play. And I think UConn not being in that top 16 fully rejects that notion. There's a lot of recency bias in there, maybe some leaning on of conference record, which typically we're told does not matter. But from a full season-long resume standpoint, UConn is one of the top 12, maybe even 12 or 14 elite non-conference wins. Their metrics, both strength of record and like predictive type stuff, your KenPoms, your Nets, those are all really, really high for UConn, and they got left out because they haven't been that strong recently. So it does seem like throughout the bracket, maybe those predictive metrics aren't going to be as weighted as strongly, and recent performance might actually end up having a bit of a factor in how the committee seeds the field.
Yeah, Jim, that was the one thing that stood out, was that the Big East got slighted. And I just wonder with the Big East, because I love those top five teams. And look, UConn's as talented as anyone. I think they're boneheaded, and that's part of the reason they've fallen off in conference play. But Marquette's a lot of fun. They're very good guard play. Xavier, good guard play. Providence, you and I were texting about Providence earlier this week. I don't know how good Providence really is, but at home, they're nails. And Cooley's one of the best coaches in the country. And then sitting there at number four, and I want to bring this up because you and I texted about this in the preseason, Creighton. Where Creighton had this horrible start, they played terribly without Kalkbrenner when he missed a few games, and now Creighton is 12-4 in the Big East and 18-9 overall. Are they the one team that, again, before the year, one of the hottest picks to win it all, falling off as high as 60-1 to win it all? Are they the one team under the radar still that kind of scares you? They pop up as a 6 or a 5 seed if you're a 2 seed or a 1 seed and you draw them in the Sweet 16.
It's them and TCU to me, right? Which is curious because you go back to last season, both these teams were 9 seeds that gave a 1 seed a heck of a battle in the second round, and people kind of fell in love with Creighton, put them top 5, mostly some top 10 projections, and TCU was a little more of an afterthought, and maybe because they weren't as young, they didn't have the freshman to sophomore leap coming for as many of their players, but they're kind of like the Houston where they got an elite guard back in Miles. Yeah, Creighton, they're dominant with Kalkbrenner in the lineup. They've been terrific, just a fantastic rim defense. And then the young guards have come along. Trey Alexander's a fantastic playmaker. Nembhard hit some huge buckets down the stretch at Providence last week, gave them a chance to win in overtime there. Yeah, Creighton was a team early on, at least in the preseason, I said, look, you don't have to rank them top 5. There was kind of a groupthink going where if you didn't rank them top 5, you got skewered. I thought they were really good. I ranked them like, I think 11th or 12th preseason. It wasn't like I was down on them and thought they were horrific, but I kind of railed against the group thing. Well, now here we are, late February, getting into it closer to March. And I can fully hand up say that that team is one of the best, you know, 10 or 12 in the entire country. They're not seeded like it because of the stretch they have without Kalkbrenner. But yeah, like you said, that is a dangerous team that if you're a one or two seed and you see them in your bracket, you're kind of slumping your shoulders. You're like, hey, we have to get them instead of somebody else because they are really, really good.
TCU, they have a game tonight against Kansas, and we'll get to them get to that game in a second. But you brought it up. TCU without Mike Miles, all right, maybe they win a game in a tournament. TCU with Mike Miles, and I know there's problems with their three-point shooting, though. But, Jim, they have been, all because of that one loss without Miles against Northwestern State, have still seemingly haven't climbed the mountain of being valued properly to me.
Yeah, and you look at even this recent stretch where he missed with a knee hyperextension. They went 1-5 against the spread, -5 cover margin, kind of tanks their, you know, predictive ratings. But the last six that they played with him in the lineup, 5-1 against the spread, +12 cover margin. Like, they blew out both Oklahoma schools. They blew out Kansas and Lawrence. Like, the ceiling is really, really high. And like you said, yeah, the three-point shooting is dicey. But they get to the rim. They defend like crazy. They're one of the best transition offenses in the league or in the country. With Miles in there, I think the ceiling's really high for TCU despite that three-point shooting. And if they get some shots to go in a big game, that's what happened to Kansas. They made some threes early. They're nearly unbeatable. So I'm still very, very high on the Horned Frogs and their potential in March.
Jim, do you have anything on that game tonight? Kansas looking for revenge in Fort Worth. Horned Frogs laying 2 tonight.
I actually like TCU. I'm going to lay the 2 here. I'm a little scared because Bill Self's history where he's lost to a team and then rematching with them during the year is pretty promising. I mean, you look at what just happened over the weekend. They lost to Baylor early in the year, and then this the rematch, they beat him by 30 in the second half. However, I think that's mitigated a little bit by the spot. 48 hours of turnaround here. You got to go on the road after playing at home. Maybe less time for Bill Self to scheme up some adjustments compared to that first game, that first blowout. I like TCU there at home. That team just with Miles, I'm continuing to ride them. I think they're undervalued in a lot of the metrics.
Jim, in the last 20 seconds we have with you, anything else on tonight's short card?
Texas A&M Commerce under. People
there
are dying for some gross extra board action. Yeah, this is the battle of the slowest and the fastest teams in the league, Commerce and Nicholls State here. First game, Commerce won the pace battle. I think it stays under again, 145, 145 and a half.
Oh, there we go. Southland action. With the team first year in D1. He's Jim Root. Again, a three-man weave where you can find Jim and all his great stuff. Jim, pleasure as always.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Appreciate it.
And of course, Jim Root on the tweets at Second Chance Points. Hey, we got NBA playoff odds to discuss next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college hoops, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today with an introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the year, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and daily props, and plenty more. So don't miss out on this limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you take it today. $9.99. Introductory offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. Happy to be with you. It's a numbers game. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Kelly, I filled in on Final Countdown last week. Obviously, through the year, host Live Bet Saturday and Sunday. Trying to figure out the name of which show I am hosting has been a bigger struggle than it's needed to be.
Yeah.
I do know this one because this is the one I actually get up early for.
You get around, Jeff Parles. Everybody knows that.
Oh, hey. So I don't even know what to do with that one. Kelly, let's go to the NBA. You and JVT are the NBA experts at the network. Safe to say now? Safe to say
yeah,
that?
Yes.
I think that's safe to say. So we're out of the All-Star break. By the way, why is the All-Star game like at the 70% way point?
Yeah, you know what? I feel like this is always a problem with people. I don't really care because if you think about it, if you're in the playoffs, right? It's much more near
the midway.
The midway point, true. Right?
You're right.
Yeah, now for the teams like the Houston Rockets where
the
you
Detroit
know you,
Pistons.
Yeah, you have 23 games left or whatever it is, and then the season's over. Yeah, it's a little awkward, but it's not like you're really you're already on a beach during this week anyways.
Yeah, you're already you're not wrong.
You're not all there.
Your mind's in Cabo anyway, to begin with. So by the way, I will ask you this before we get to the make miss odds at DraftKings for the NBA playoffs. Now that we're within 3 months of the NBA draft, or 4 months of the NBA draft, I should say, 3 months within the lottery, where do you want Victor to go?
Oh, man, where do I want him to go?
Isn't Orlando the only answer at this point of the teams that are in the lottery?
I don't think they're going to get there, though.
I don't think they're going to be bad enough either.
Or they're not going to get to the last four, right? That first pick odds.
So right now, the first pick odds would be even for the bottom four, which would be Houston, San Antonio, Detroit, and Charlotte.
Of those four teams, and yes, it's likely to end that way, I would most like him to be with, man, I guess I'd have to go Charlotte. Just to pair him
see
with
if LaMelo can play a whole
pair
season
him with
healthy.
LaMelo, I think he'd be fascinating on the Rockets as well. I mean, they got a lot of young talent on that team.
Yeah. Jalen Green, of course.
Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, you're able to play with. I think that would be really, really fascinating. I don't really care to see him on the Spurs, even though that's probably.
Popovich is still coaching. Yeah.
Jeff, I feel like there's a good chance that for some reason or another, he's going to end up on that team.
That's where you think, the one last bone to Popovich?
Yeah.
Look,
I don't know. I just have a feeling the lottery goes that way.
In all honesty, Kelly,
the Tony Parker connection, too.
You're not wrong.
I know he's, done work with both the Spurs and Wembanyama. I'm sure that these two sides have been talking already for 2 years about the possibility of this occurring.
I know it won't happen because they're too good at this point, but can Oklahoma City just fall off the map?
I mean, that would have been the answer, right? Yeah. To see the all. Everybody knows.
Chet on the same team would be amazing.
I've got all these SGA bets for most improved player. People know I'm high on this team already, but the all length positionless basketball team, Jeff, that Oklahoma City Thunder could put together with a Wembanyama on there would be beyond fascinating to watch.
My favorite part of Oklahoma City, by the way, is that we have multiple Jalen Williams on the team. Yeah. And they're both good. Obviously, the one from Arkansas and the one from Santa Clara, which, by the way, the fact that the Santa Clara Jalen Williams has been as good as he's been is really just awesome confirmation bias for how good I thought he was at Santa Clara. And the fact that he's actually been good in the league in his rookie year has been great. But, I know there's a little bit of a dive trap. By the way, is Victor minus 40,000 right now to be the first pick? Yep. It's still a good bet.
Still not a bad bet.
There is no – assuming he makes it to the draft, and I know this will be morbid here, as long as he makes it to the draft alive,
yeah,
he is going to be the first pick.
Or, not paralyzed.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Again, I know we went a little morbid there, but
– But it's
even
true.
Even if he tears his ACL – he is still the first overall pick.
Yes, it's the smallest percentage of ROI you're probably ever going to get, Jeff. But it's not a bad bet. It's not.
It's craziness. If you have the assets, why not? All right, let's go to the make miss playoff odds in the Western Conference. Kelly, it's awesome to see the Sacramento Kings still looking like they're finally going to snap this playoff drought, which is the longest in North American sports. If the Kings make the playoffs, you know who's the longest drought in North American sports, Kelly Bidlin?
Who that?
That'd be the New York Jets.
I was like, I have a feeling
that's unfortunate
for me.
Very unfortunate for me. Kings are minus 400 to make the playoffs. Snap that long, almost 20-year stretch of not being in the playoffs. Minus 400 on the S, 3-1 on the no. Warriors currently ninth, minus 240, plus 180. Still awaiting when Steph will return, be reassessed this week. Pelicans minus 170 on the S, plus 135 on the no. They are currently seventh. Minnesota currently eighth at plus 160 on the S, minus 200 on the no. The Lakers have the same odds of that, despite the fact that they are 13th in the standings right now. Blazers 3-1 on the S. They're currently 12th, or tied for 11th, I should say, with Utah is plus 425 on the S. And the current 10 seed, the Oklahoma City Thunder, at plus 450. Kelly, looking at these odds, there are two that stand out right away to me. One of them is Oklahoma City, that big, giant, juicy price.
Yeah.
At plus 450. Now, this is not to make the play-in. They have to, if they get in the play-in, they would have to more than likely win twice as an underdog in order to get in. So you may end up with a better price just rolling it over twice. But Steph Curry doesn't come back. Like, we expect him to come back, but there is a scenario where Steph Curry doesn't play again this year.
Yeah.
There is a scenario.
I'm not expecting that, but I think the biggest thing that, I mean, you could say right here is we have no idea.
We have no idea with Steph, right?
We have no idea. So I don't really know how you could run. Look, I'm not gonna count this team out. I'm not counting them out ever. But I don't know how you could make a yes bet on this team right now at those kind of odds.
No way. Not a minus 240. No way. That was going to say the other one that stands out. And again, we're waiting on Zion Williamson to return. And I like what the Pelicans have.
Yeah.
But if Zion, again, we know why Zion's injury history. It's always been out 4 to 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden Zion's done for the year. If he doesn't come back and they end up in the 9-10, which is more than possible, Kelly, that is a dangerous game for them to be playing to win two playing games for the second consecutive year. And they're not going to get a gift like they got last year when Paul George gets COVID on the day of the 8-seed game and you find a way to beat the Clippers without their best player. Obviously, Kawhi was still on the shelf at this point. New Orleans plus 135. No, and that's a shame because I love them at full strength. I think they're capable of winning the NBA title.
Me too.
But when Zion not there, not the same. And then that big number on Oklahoma City were the two that stood out to me.
Yeah, this is where it gets interesting. I don't disagree with you on the Thunder. I think there's a chance, but you're asking them
to do a lot.
They're almost certainly going to end up in the play-in, right?
Yep.
So we'll go, Isaiah, if you could take this again. I'm going to go, this is where I need my telestrator, Ken. This is, okay, so like Warriors, you got to cross off right now as a yes bet, right?
If you want to talk yourself into a no bet,
okay, fine. But you can't bet yes right now when you don't know what Steph's future is. You can't bet yes on the Pelicans right now because you don't know what Zion's status is, right? Now, a lot of these other teams become hard to bet yes on, though, right now, because you're most likely going to end up in a play-in scenario with the Pelicans in the Warriors, which we still don't know what the status of Zion and Steph, right? So if you end up in a play-in tournament with those two teams basically at full strength, then, yeah, I love the idea of the Pelicans and Warriors coming out of there most likely, but we don't know if that's going to happen. So I think it's really tough right now. I think the one that I just even thought was halfway decent, this is where, look, the Western Conference is really exciting this year with how this could all wind up. This is where it's really fascinating. I think there will be a bet to make in this market maybe a little bit down the road here. I just don't know about right now. The only one that I could possibly recommend, Jeff, is the Kings. Kings no price at plus 300. They've been great. They're a team that I bet preseason an alt over on their win total that's looking good right now. But that bunch from where they are at the 3 seed, 8 games back of the Nuggets to the Oklahoma City Thunder is only 4 games. All it takes is a bad stretch here from the Kings, and who knows where they end up in this playoff position. And again, if they end up in a play-in situation, you might have some tough teams to get through to get into the playoffs.
Man, if you're Sacramento, you have the 3 seed, the All-Star break, and you don't make the playoffs, and that streak continues, that's just brutal.
It would be brutal.
It would be absolutely brutal. Just vicious. We'll look at the Eastern Conference side, and also we'll let Kelly rant about more on John Rahm, is ruining his betting life. That's next here at a Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. And if your bet loses, you receive up to $25 back in bonus bets at BetMGM. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. So just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then place a wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in bonus bets. So check it out today at BetMGM. This promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Happy to be with you on a Monday morning. I'm Jeff Parles. Kelly Bidlin here as well. It is a numbers game. Jay Kahn's going to be with us in 15 minutes talking hockey. Kelly, do you have any high? Have you bet the Canadiens recently? That was your favorite thing to do last year after
no,
football.
No, yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, yeah. Because they were like plus 400 in games. Yeah.
Yeah, and they won. That was one of the finer final moments of primetime action.
Hey, big dogs in hockey are fun to bet. That's for sure.
we'll talk some hockey with Jay Kahn in a little bit. But Kelly, Woj bomb this morning.
Yeah.
After the buyout becomes complete in Salt Lake City with the Jazz, Russell Westbrook's heading back to L.A. He'll be a Clipper. And you and I were talking about this during the break, and you're not alone on this. Guy Mo Dakhil actually brought this up on Twitter when it was rumored last week. If you're the Clippers, things are starting to work. Everyone's starting to get healthier, starting to look like the team that could win the NBA title to some. I'm not there. I'm not convinced of that, but to some, starting to look like a team that was the proper one of the favorites at the beginning of the year. How has this roster construction made any sense from LA? You get rid of John Wall, you get rid of Reggie Jackson, and you replace them with Russell Westbrook. Who, look, Russell Westbrook's a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no arguing that. Mm-hmm. But at this point in his career, he stinks. There is absolutely no reason that this should have been the order of operations for the Clippers, and I do not think it's going to work. And at some point, and if, assuming Westbrook is in the rotation, which he will be, at some point in the playoff series, especially if they get in a tight series with Phoenix or Denver, which will inevitably happen based off the way that right now they play Phoenix in the first round. I don't think that will end up that way, but they're going to see one of those two teams at some point in the playoffs. There's going to be a sequence in an important game, an important spot, that Westbrook destroys the Clippers.
Yeah, this was the one team we were talking to. Matt and I were talking about this on Friday. I think Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love. Kevin Love looks
going
like
to Miami.
Will sign with the Heat. That was one that we brought up almost immediately, thought that would make a lot of sense for them. Love that signing. This one, very confusing. It is, for several reasons. The Clippers seemingly shook up their entire backcourt just to kind of shake it up. Now, I do think they are a little better off now heading into the playoffs than where they were before. I do think getting Bones Highland and Eric Gordon do make your backcourt a little bit better for the playoffs than what they had before.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I don't really get. I don't really get. I have a feeling he's going to end up, Jeff, maybe out of the rotation by the time the playoffs come.
It's possible.
My biggest question with this was, like, I brought this up last week. We're talking about Russell Westbrook to the Clippers. Him and John Wall, at this point in their careers, are essentially the same player. And I am so glad that I saw this tweet. I want to give credit for who tweeted it out. Shane Young.
Okay.
John Wall this season, 49.8% true shooting, 27.1% usage rate, 17.1% turnover rate, okay? Russell Westbrook this season, 49.6% true shooting percentage, so slightly worse. 28.8% usage rate, slightly higher than John Wall. And an 18.1 turnover rate, so a slightly higher turnover rate. So they basically brought in
a higher usage, worse player than John Wall.
Yes, if you're looking at the stats. Yeah. So, and this was my fear all of last week. I don't know that I am overly concerned about Russell Westbrook really, really chewing up the usage and minutes on the ball that should be going to Kawhi, Paul George, and some of these other guys. I don't think if you're the Clippers, you can't let that happen. So I'm not really worried about that happening. But it is the I don't know if he comes in like you're talking about. He comes in and starts turning the ball over with a second unit. I think it'll help out this team that needs to rely on efficient offense and good defense. And he's not a good defensive player either. So I don't know. Look, this was one that I don't know if he was a great fit for any of the real suitors out there right now. It's just a different game these days, and he's getting older. My guess would be we see him barely play once the playoffs start.
that's the case, then the Clippers will be in better shape. I mean, if he's in a rotation, then he got a big problem.
I think he might be okay as an addition if we're thinking about games when Kawhi and Paul George are on the bench and they're missing.
Oh, so you let Westbrook just shoot the ball 25 times?
I don't know. Maybe Russ can help a bit there, but I don't know. This one's tough.
Very weird. Very weird. All right, Kelly, let's go back to the Eastern Conference side of will they make or miss the playoffs odds. DraftKings with these odds up. Let's look at the Eastern Conference. The Brooklyn Nets currently in the 5 seed, the 8-1. They are currently 2.5 games clear of Miami for the 7. Miami at 6-1 on the in the 7 seed, a half game behind the Knicks. The Knicks plus 285 on the minus 380 on the yes. Atlanta currently the 8 seed, 1 game under 500. What a disappointment the Hawks have been yet again. Yes, minus 155, plus 125 on the no. Raptors at plus 165 on the yes, minus 205 on the no. And then the Bulls, who Danny Burke's in town this week. And Danny Burke is very angry at the Chicago Bulls on a daily basis.
Because they did nothing at the trade deadline? Yeah.
They're aggravating basketball team to our guy Danny Burke. Or Dan Burke, as he's known on this program. plus 425.
Only when he has a full mustache.
Yeah. plus 425. Yes, when he's gotten full Tom Selleck, yes. plus 425 on a yes on Chicago. Kelly, look, the only bet here that I would even consider would be taking either Brooklyn or Miami, or the Knicks for that matter, and saying, all right, which one of you is going to end up in the play-in? And just hoping they lose twice. I don't think any of those. I don't think either of those yes ones on Toronto or Chicago, or really even laying $1.55 in Atlanta makes sense to me. I would just take a small bite of one of those no's of either Brooklyn, Miami, or the Knicks, and just hope they lose two in a row. I think the Western Conference was a lot better to bet than what these Eastern Conference numbers are.
Yeah, so you legitimately have, in my opinion, probably 12 teams in the Western Conference that could make the playoffs. In the East, man, I think the top eight that you see right now in the standings, I really believe make the playoffs. But, of course, this play-in tournament adds a little bit more chaos factor to it, right, Jeff? So you're right. I think that'd probably be the best way to look at it if you really thought there was a chance one of those teams doesn't make it in there. So, yeah, the 8-1 on the Nets, it maybe. But, you know, that requires them. They've got a 2.5 game cushion on the Heat in the seven seed. They'd have to fall back even into that range, obviously. I hear you on Atlanta. They've been disappointing. I'm invested in that team from preseason as well. I still think probably if I had to pull a trigger on any of these ones, it would be the yes on Atlanta Hawks. If anything, I think they will get better here towards the end of the season. One of their starting lineup has been playing good defensively here recently, so that's something for them to build off of. Minus 155 on a yes price for them. That would probably be my favorite one of all the ones we've looked at. But this Eastern Conference one, I think, is going to be tough to the end unless you really think there's going to be chaos in that play-in tournament.
By the way, the current 9 seed Wizards plus 150, yes. Not bad either. Don't mind that.
Yeah, that one's not terrible either.
And then Indiana currently a half game behind Chicago, 8-1. I don't think that's good enough.
You
need more than on that. Again, the Pacers were a very good story for a while, but they've realized, we're not supposed to win this year.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We're not supposed to win this year. But they actually have a pretty bright future, all things considered.
I think that's one of those teams that they're gonna if your expectation was for them to be in the Wembanyama sweepstakes, then they failed, I guess, on the season. They performed too well, right? But I think it sounds like they're probably gonna move ahead with Miles Turner on this roster. There's really some good pieces that they have with Mathurin, back in that backcourt. They've had some great performances this year. I think there's a lot of good things for that team to build off of.
Kelly, we're going to save your John Rahm stuff for a little
bit. Yeah,
we'll save it for later. And also, too,
I made a couple Masters bets, too.
Yeah, I'm curious. We're a little under 2 months away from the Masters. It's going to be interesting because now people still not really paying attention to golf. You might be able to sneak in a few good futures bets.
Especially if you're not paying attention to LIV at all, which I am not, but I'm paying attention to their odds for the guys that qualify in the Masters.
Not a hint?
That's a hint.
A hint and a tease from Kelly Bidlin. We'll get that a little later. But coming up next, our guy Jake Hahn talking some hockey. Amazingly enough, under 2 months to go in the regular season in the NHL. We'll get some thoughts on tonight's games and a little futures board with Jake Hahn next.